Super Bowl 56, the nation's biggest sporting event.
29 years in the making, the Super Bowl, the crown jewel of TV entertainment, is finally back in LA. An event that attracts 100 million viewers per year comes with a spotlight of its city's host. This year's Super Bowl committee chose to shine a light on 56 nonprofits around Los Angeles, granting them each $10,000.
We want to make it Super Bowl year, and we really want the benefit of the game coming to LA to impact the community throughout the whole year.
We talked to two of the lucky recipients and discussed the impact the grant has on their organizations.
It means the world, I mean, to just have the publicity and the recognition.
And discuss why it's important for these groups in Los Angeles to be recognized and supported. What does the NFL and the event of the year owe back to its fans and its taxpayers? We discuss all of that and more on Fox 11 News In Depth. It starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. It's the eighth time Los Angeles has hosted the Super Bowl, the first time since 1993 at the Rose Bowl. On February 13th, the state-of-the-art SoFi Stadium will get its shot in front of the millions of viewers that tune in. But before the big game, the pageantry begins. This year's Super Bowl host committee identified 56 nonprofits that are making a difference every day in underserved communities. They were each given $10,000 worth of a grant, with six of those groups about to get $50,000 in a grant. We will chat with two members of the nonprofit selected later in the show. But first, let's meet Kathy Schlossman, president and CEO of the Los Angeles Sports and Entertainment Commission and a Super Bowl committee member. And wow. What an exciting time.
It is. And thanks for the intro. We are so excited and so excited by the organizations that we chose. But more importantly, we're excited to be hosting the Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles February of 2022. Coming out of COVID, we really needed the shot in the arm for our hospitality, our travel, our tourism. And we're going to really take the spotlight from Super Bowl and shine it on everybody in LA who's doing good work.
And these 56 organizations that you're putting a spotlight on, how are they selected? The $10,000, what does that go for? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so in terms of the selection process, we really wanted to open it up. So Hal, just to back up for a second, every city who hosts the Super Bowl has a legacy program. And we really thought we want to make, in this particular year, we really do want to showcase what is good in Los Angeles. And more importantly, the people that are doing good work who don't get the recognition. So it was really important that we were looking for unsung hero organizations, the ones who are usually under the radar, don't get the attention. So we asked for nominations for organizations doing good work in either social justice, youth development, or workforce development. It had to be an LA-based organization, been around for at least 3 years. We had a selection committee made up of experts in this space who know the people that really are doing the work that people don't know about. And so we selected these 56 organizations where $10,000 was going to really make an impact on the work they're doing. And in addition to that, we're also producing a professional video on each of these 56 organizations, and we're going to give it back to them to use to promote their work so we can help them. Again, it's not just the money, it's how they promote, how they get known in the community. And then third thing is we're gonna use clips from these videos that we've done to help promote them on the year running up to Super Bowl, because there's a lot of media attention about Super Bowl coming to Los Angeles. It's not all just about the game. It's about what is Super Bowl gonna do for the community. And now we have a good story to tell.
Yeah, this happens often with events, the Olympics. It happened with that. You know, it happens with the World Series. Anytime a big event comes to a host city, you know, you have these sort of peripheral events. What did you learn about Los Angeles as you were sort of delving into all of this?
Well, I love this. You know, when we started out, I thought, oh, I'm going to know these organizations. I will have heard of them. I had heard of none of them, number one. And as I started learning about what they're doing, I just got so excited about this, because this is really what the reason we exist is we bring these events to town. Super Bowl, as an example, is going to have 65,000 people at SoFi Stadium. That's great. It's going to be amazing. 100 million viewers, all that. But really, this is about what is it going to leave behind? What does this mean to our city in addition to the economic impact? And so we've been able to learn a little bit more as we're doing these videos. I just watched these organizations the other day, the Eastside Riders Bike Club, and I almost started crying. It was, the work they're doing is so amazing. Never heard of it before. They're bringing together people in the community in Watts. They're making meals. They're taking it out to the homeless on bikes. And so it's a real sense of community, and the group that they brought together, and their CEO has just done amazing work. And he said in the video, it's so nice after 12 or 13 years to finally get some attention and have people recognize what we're doing, because we can do better and more work from that attention. And that's exciting.
Well, it is exciting. There's a lot of electricity in the air. As we move forward and get closer, it'll even be greater and greater. But, you know, we only have like less than a half a minute left. What do you want to tell everybody about this whole process of moving forward toward Super Bowl 56 and the good it does into the community?
What I want to tell people is, even if you're not a football fan, you need to support us in bringing Super Bowl and all the other events that we're bringing, college football playoff, the U.S. Open. It's not about the event. It's about the impact that they're bringing to our community, the visibility that L.A. is getting. We're able to show the world that Los Angeles is back open for business. Come visit. Come spend money in our city. Come support our community organizations. That's why we're doing it. That's why these events are important. And people need to be supportive of this, because this is going to help us recover from COVID.
All right, Kathy Schlossman, thanks so much. Sounds very exciting. We'll check in with you from time to time as we go forward. And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we'll hear from the Sisters of Watts, a recipient of one of those grants, and dive into their organization and message. And are you curious about who those nonprofits are, the 56? Here, take a look.
As we continue to heal from the pandemic in the months ahead, Super Bowl 56 will continue to take on even greater meaning. It will stand for hope, optimism, and perseverance. And we're proud to showcase and celebrate that recovery right here in Los Angeles. The organizations recognized here today embody the very best of what our city has to offer. And we're thrilled to see them benefit from the Super Bowl's far-reaching economic and philanthropic legacy.
That was Host Committee Chair Casey Wasserman on the importance of giving back as we recover from the pandemic. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. And joining us right now is Keisha Daniels. She's with Sisters of Watts, one of the recipients of the $10,000 grants being handed out. And the whole time you've been there, you've been smiling. So tell us what's behind that smile.
Behind this smile is joy. We are so honored to have been one of the organizations to have been chosen for the $10,000. It means so, so much to us. I mean, this has been a really tough year from the pandemic, with trying to get out there and do things for the community, and having this money in our laps, it's going to push us even further to provide to our community. So we're just overexcited for it. We just thank you guys so much.
Well, what do you do with the money? $10,000 could go quickly, could go for a lot of good things.
It's going to go for great things, okay? Because we are about the youth in our community, and we always have been. But this is going to help further our youth program to help these babies who have been through so much through this pandemic, when they were unable to do all the things that usually would do for this after school, or just they're just been in the house. We're going to be able to provide those fun times all over again, that assistance that they need to get clothing and to get food. It means a lot that we're going to be able to have this to provide to our youth, to have them to go out and go on field trips, to be exposed to things outside of their community. That's really our main focus, is to make sure our babies are well taken care of and exposed to as much as we can expose them to.
There could also be some more money in the pipeline, because I believe it's $50,000, right, for six organizations that's yet to be named. And I'm sure you're hoping that might be one of the things you get.
I pray that it's most definitely the Sisters of Watts, because this year, if we got that $50,000, the sky is the limit for our youth and our community, because Watts right now is on the rising of change. We are out there trying to let people know that our babies in Watts are very dedicated to doing things in their community. Using that $50,000 would allow us to buy more equipment, to fund a lot of our tutoring, to provide computers, to provide more clothing for them, to help them with our lunch program. All of this will be included with spending that $50,000 that we're going to get. I'm claiming it.
All right, we'll see about that. What I do want to know is, what does the power of sport do to these kids?
Oh, you know what? We have a family fitness program that we're running. And this program is for our families, the youth and the families. Growing up for us, our mom used to take us to the park. We were at Ted Watkins Park, swimming, basketball, drill team, anything they had available for that. So sports was most definitely an outlet for us to let out all this energy that we had. Coming home from school, wanted to go and play, doing all the activities that we love to do, hopscotch, jump rope, tag, all of those things. So sports has always played a critical and vital role in our community. So being able to provide that program to our kids and to the families, to bring back that family network where you're able to actually have fun. We want the parents to have fun with their kids, because now we're promoting that love and that support. And you know, when kids get that support, most definitely from their family, it's a different feeling that you get, that your mom and your dad and your sisters and brothers and you guys are all there having fun doing things. So we try to keep that sports element inside and incorporated within our program.
And the ages you're dealing with on the children?
Oh, we're dealing with ages 1 until 18. We encourage the family to come out, because we want them to be active. We want to teach them healthy eating. We want to teach them how to enjoy life and relieve the stress. So a lot of times we leave out those babies, but they have a lot of energy too. And then we want to involve the older kids that are in high school, because then they can teach the little ones. They are mentors. That's in our programs. We use the older kids to mentor the younger kids. It's like a big brother, big sister program that we have.
So I want to ask you, I mean, we've all gone through the 15 months of the pandemic, and how hard has it been for some of these kids? Can you give us a couple of sort of things that they've had to deal with?
You know, it has really been hard for our kids. A lot of the kids just want to go swimming. They wanted to play basketball. They wanted to just play with their friends, and they were unable to. They wanted to go out to eat and just be socially active. And we heard our kids. We still speak to them. So we did a lot of grab and goes where the parents were able to come out. We passed out for Easter baskets. We gave out over 600 Easter baskets to the community. And we put games and toys and candy. Yes, we did. And healthy snacks also in there. That brightened the kids' face up so much. We were able to give out laptops and school supplies and fun activities, cooking activities, just so the kids can have something to do to make it feel like they were still in that mode of the regular programming that they would usually have for school. So, it was very hard on our babies. It was very hard.
And not to forget, they had to go through remote learning in school as well. And that was very challenging for a lot as well. Keisha Daniels, thank you very much. Congratulations on getting the grant. We'll keep in touch with you. And coming up on Fox 11 News In Depth, the founder of Homeboy Industries, another grant recipient, and find out how the biggest world's gang rehabilitation program continues to grow. And are you curious about those who are benefiting from this, the various nonprofits, the 56 champions? You're looking at them right now. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and We're talking about the Super Bowl 56, the 56 nonprofit organizations sprawled across 88 cities in Los Angeles County that were given $10,000 by the Super Bowl committee as part of their legacy program. Joining us right now is Father Gregory Boyle, the founder of Homeboy Industries, the largest gang intervention rehabilitation program in the world. And Father Greg, been a long time. How you doing? Good to see you.
Great to be with you.
This must be very exciting.
Yeah, it's always helpful because we try to meet payroll every 2 weeks. And so we have we're quite large with 500 people. So it's always helpful when people validate and acknowledge who we are and what we do.
You know, we're talking about money. You know, the NFL is a multi-billion dollar corporation. What does an organization like the NFL owe to host cities like Los Angeles in the case of Super Bowl 56?
Well, you know, any way that people can accompany folks who are struggling and trying to get on with their lives is certainly an important thing. And so we belong to each other. So how do we stand at the margins and try to erase them by standing there? So the hope is that, you know, people who have means will acknowledge those who struggle and then help them.
And so that money, $10,000, and there could be another $50,000 in the pipeline, depending on the six organizations that are lucky enough to receive that down the road. But what do you use that money for besides payroll issues?
Well, you know, we have 10 social enterprises. We have free tattoo removal. We have lots of therapists and people, counselors, case managers, navigators. So it's quite a large enterprise. And we're $28 million annual operation, so it costs a lot of money. But there's no place like this place, you know, where people are welcomed after prison or when they decide to leave behind gang life. And so it's a significant investment by anybody who wants to support this place.
Well, you know, the money is, of course, supposed to go back out to the community to help those in the community to, as in our last segment, that group dealing with children. So you'll use some of that money for community programs to help some of the people in the community that you deal with?
Yeah, and especially during the pandemic, we pivoted well over a year ago to help address food insecurity. So we would make 14,000 meals and prepare them every week to distribute to homeless and seniors and to shut-ins in a program we call Feed Hope. So 300,000 meals prepared during this time. And so, you know, it helps us continue that good work. So,
well, you know, we're looking at images of you over the years. You know, you've been around a long time and you started this quite a long time. When did you start the Homeboys?
1988.
Yeah, 1988. Been a while. Yeah. So when the pandemic came along, what challenges did that present? I mean, everybody was impacted by that. What did that mean to the people that you serve?
Well, at least for the first 3 months, we were all kind of Zooming it, you know, therapy and classes and anger management, and case managers were checking in with their caseload. And so we just tried to maintain a contact since we couldn't come in here. But pretty early on, we were designated by the mayor as an essential organization. So we opened our doors and tried to do it all with masks and, you know, distance. And we tried to kind of rotate people. Some people were Monday, Wednesday people. Some were Tuesday, Thursday people. But now we're fully open.
Well, one of the questions I have is the same question I asked in the last segment, and that's, how important is sports to those that you serve?
Well, it's very important, you know, because we want to address wholeness and health and people being well, and certainly, you know, being in shape is a thing that is helpful. We started during the pandemic time, first time we ever had anything like this, kind of a you know, an exercise regimen, weight pile. So every day that's kind of part of all our trainees and their daily existence is to, you know, to engage in sports, but also in you know, keeping in shape, et cetera. Plus, we're very close to the California State Park here, so that's part of our daily regimen as people go down there and exercise and run. And so it's very important.
I'm curious, what was the process for applying for the grant? And when you heard it, that you were going to get it, what kind of feeling was that?
Yeah, no, we were very gratified, again, that people acknowledge what we do here and how we're kind of utterly unique in as much as we create a community of kinship and connection, a community of beloved belonging where people feel welcomed and they can, you know, somehow navigate their lives in a way that where they find themselves more resilient than before. And only healing can reduce crime, period. And so this place is dedicated to people healing. So if you don't transform your pain, you're going to transmit it. And so that's what we do here for a living. So we were very gratified at this acknowledgement.
All right. Father Gregory Boyle, thanks so much for joining us. Good to see you again.
Likewise.
All right. And we'll be right back. Here, though, is another look at those 56 nonprofits benefiting from Super Bowl 56.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest.
Another notable story from the NFL this week came when Carl Nassib made that announcement. That was on Monday in a video posted on Instagram. He thanked his Raider teammates and coaches for their support, as well as others in the NFL. Nassib also announced he was donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project, an organization that works to prevent teenage suicides in the LGBT community. The NFL, in return, matched the donation toward that project. Meanwhile, a look at this from Hall of Famer Warren Moon. Really proud of Carl Nassib. He says the first active football player to ever do so. I played with several guys who never were comfortable enough to go public. They were great teammates and obviously very talented. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the How. You can get it wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehowpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. And one more time, here are the 56 champion nonprofits benefiting from the Super Bowl 56 committee. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.